take the magic of Disney's Frozen 2 with you anywhere.
It began with two sisters.
Into the unknown.
See Frozen 2 first on digital download.
Into the unknown.
The number one animated film of all time.
Promise me we do this together, okay?
I promise.
Watch instantly on all your devices, at home or on the go.
I believe in you, Elsa, more than anyone or anything.
Disney's Frozen 2, available to download and keep now on Apple TV.
Hey guys, this is Josh and the Homebrew Hombres, Liam Malone, Max Wessel, and Doug Banks.
Hey!
We make RPG from Scratch. It's a podcast about making and playing your own tabletop role-playing games. So come listen to us work on the Scratch Dice system, an alternative to D&D and Pathfinder, and listen to our first campaign,
Echoes of the Star Crypt,
at nerdyshow.com and on your favorite podcast app.
The following episode of Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network.
Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse.
All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop.
Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination.
And with the generous support of listeners like you.
To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBerry here with another episode of Flame On for your ear holes.
COVID edition.
The self-isolating quarantine edition of Flame On.
I'm fine. I'm completely fine.
Dear Lord, please don't do that. People are going to get worried that they're going to get COVID through the speakers. You are in their ears.
That's in your ears now.
I am joined for this round of edition by Eric.
Hello.
BJ.
Hola.
Joshua.
Hello.
And we are here to discuss the month in pop culture while maintaining a CDC-recommended group of less than 10 people.
Please sit 6 feet away from the speakers when you're listening to this.
I was going to say, we're not sitting 6 feet away from each other, though.
No, I don't have substantial seating.
No.
I mean, y'all could sit on the floor and we could do a big circle.
We
could stand.
We could do a circle? Is that what you just said?
I am not a poor.
We're going to circle it.
Sitting on the floor like a poor with the animals.
Circle, send message to BJ. Clapping circle, hands emoji.
Circle, circle, dot, dot. Now you've got your COVID shot.
Oh. If only. Wah, wah.
I still have the work, too. That's some bullshit.
Come on, I mean, essential employee.
I mean, I know I have like friends and stuff like losing jobs. So like,
yeah, I was like, hey, can you not talk about the fact that you still get a paycheck?
It's spoiled rotten.
I'm pretty sure I'm the only one in this room that is not making any money right now. There's either essential employees or work from home.
Boy, sell your stuff on the internet, like.
Who's gonna buy that?
There's plenty of people that'll buy like old jocks and socks and stuff. Like,
first of all. I only have enough clothing to get me through the 2 months that I was transient before moving. If I start selling off my clothes, I'm going to have nothing.
I mean, yeah.
I have nothing. Nothing.
Oh, just sell Josh's nothing. Stuff. Like, he won't, as long as it's not like his favorite chalk or something, he's got the attention span of a goldfish, so like...
I mean, it's true, but
he'll be like,
I'll just get a mirror, catch some sun rays, like, look over there, just start stealing
he'll
shit.
He'll walk in and be like, did anybody take my purple jock? And you'll be like, no, what are you talking about? My favorite
you,
jock.
You had
no,
a purple
it
jock?
It was your
it's
green
black.
One. It was your much. It was your green one. Like, oh, that's right, it was green. And then, you're good. Just take all the purple ones then.
True.
See, not that I've done this before, ladies and gentlemen.
All of BJ's old roommates are now going to go through their shit and be like, wait a minute, I did have a purple jock.
Mine's black.
Well, we
You're
are...
singular?
Just one. It's new.
Cultural appropriation.
You want to see?
Off the rails already. This is the most social I've been with people for like the past week. So.
Well, considering this is our last full in-person roundup where the four of us will be together. The sad part is that this is really just the cast. Oral's doing his thing. Brian's on the other side of the country right now. And yeah, it's the four of us really make up the cast.
Eric's run off with Lex Luthor to be a mob wife.
I stopped counting her a while ago. She never officially said she wasn't on the show anymore like Jared did. But, I mean, once she started selling houses,
once she
knew she was
money,
gone. Like, oh, yeah. And make your coin, bitch. I do not begrudge
cookies.
Anybody.
Is that a big package of toilet paper I see next to the door?
It is.
Boy, get that away from the door and the window.
Got it at Costco.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's how I'm going to start making money.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I saw... I saw a meme. I'm still a part of a couple Funko Pop groups on Facebook. And I kind of forget about it because, you know, I'm trying to behave. But someone posted a picture. They made their own custom boxes, and they made a toilet paper pop, which is really just a Funko Pop box and a roll of toilet paper in it. And they're selling it for, I think, $123.
My God. There it is, Pat. There you go.
Wow.
So
please keep me posted on whether if that sells or not, because I will be more than happy to craft a box into... makeshift Funko,
you could have special
Funko
edition
Pop
ones where you put like little sunglasses on it, like little cat's eye glasses,
like a Chase variant.
A poop variant,
a Parliament House exclusive,
P House exclusive,
dear Lord,
where it's got like a cum stain or something on it.
Well, in one of the Pokemon groups that I met on Facebook, it was like the shiny everybody wants, and it's like the little glittery stars, but then there's a toilet paper roll in the middle. Yeah, that is what everybody wants right now. But let us stop this fun talk about selling Josh's jocks and toilet paper so that way I can at least try to live for another month or so while this pandemic sweeps the nation.
Sweeping the nation.
Coming to the stage, pandemic.
Coming to the stage. This is coronavirus. I don't know if she was a stripper or a drag queen. I'm not sure with that voice. I'm sorry.
But she is sickening.
Uh-oh.
I'm surprised that one wasn't even a part. Like that was wide open, and that's coming from me, who's a little bit slow. Sometimes.
I was gonna say after all the Babadook memes,
I took that one. BJ was talking.
Okay, so a lot of the time I'm a little slow. A lot of the time I'm the pretty one. Okay, just like
well,
just as long as we remember that.
I don't remember a cast vote on that.
Yeah, I don't. I'm telling you, we get the calendar, we get the calendar made, and then we put it to a vote of people's favorite month. I call dibs on May so I can dress up like Chidi in the mailman outfit.
Oh my God, that is fantastic. I love the fact that they actually put out all the pictures from the calendar, the Jeremy Bear Me calendar.
I about cried the moment I saw the calendar. I about lost my mind.
Fantastic. All right, let's dig into the pop culture that we have been enjoying in the month of March. BJ, stop your coronavirus coughing. Listen, anybody, honestly, if you're listening to us, more than likely you've got a twisted sense of humor like we do. But if you don't, the only way that we can get through this is with humor. And I've seen that people get upset about coronavirus memes or jokes that are made. The only ones that will not be accepted are calling it Chinese flu or Kung flu.
Nope.
Or Chinese virus or Kung flu. No.
Bad.
I've seen that movie. It's terrible.
That is unacceptable.
Was everybody Kung flu fighting?
Bad, Josh.
Bad.
I know. I had to.
I have to take that out because they're going to cancel your ass and I can't have my podcast canceled.
We can't have the eye candy canceled. We can't.
No, this is Josh.
Oh. Okay, never mind then.
Woo! Woo! I kid.
I like how when we've spent all this time like separated and home for like days on end, and we come here like it's so good to see you.
Attack Josh.
Drag her. Like,
all right, listen.
I just have so much rage inside of me, right now.
And it's always me.
BJ and I like to poke fun at Josh. Because we tend to be the subject of a lot of other being poked fun at.
Yeah.
Eric is usually the one that's quiet and doesn't do a lot of it.
Yeah, him throwing shade is like scaring me.
I love it though.
Who is it?
Please,
is
please let this be the new normal for you, Eric.
Has the virus saying. Just taken hold of you?
It's true. It affects us all in different ways.
Can we call this episode "Ew COVID"?
COVID, 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 COVID. Oh, it is 19, yeah.
Yeah, it is 19.
I don't know. I just don't like the 19. I prefer just COVID. Ew, COVID.
I can't deal with this. Oh, God.
So, BJ, why don't you go ahead and kick us off with your first topic?
All right. So, if you're like me, you've been binging a lot.
Of booze? Yes.
Oh, I've been binging. I've been binging a lot of wine. Binging a lot of Netflix. And a new anime series has just popped up called Beastars.
Is that like the letter B hyphen stars?
No, it's like
Bay. Like Bewitched?
It's like Bay Stars.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like the 2000s girl group.
I love Bewitched.
But,
this would be the point where I would sing a song if I could actually remember a Bewitched tune.
Did they sing Say Levy?
Possibly.
I think so.
Possibly.
Actually, yes, that was Bewitched.
Oh, my God.
Say you will, say you won't, say you do and you don't, say in truth, say to me, say lovey.
I'm going to sing that when I die of COVID.
this sounds like Aqua.
This one's for Eric.
The tune sounds like an Aqua song.
It does.
It sounds like something else to me, but I can't think of what it is right now. It sounds like another song to me.
Barbie Girl, that's what it reminds me of.
Oh,
a little bit.
So, because instead of C'est la vie,
yeah, the rhythm. Yeah,
the
rhythm.
Instead of C'est la vie.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
I think we just saw. I think maybe did they rip it off. Now I'm obsessed. Now I want to know. Now I want to track them down and be like, did you rip off this song?
Now we're going to have to go and like fact check this and then put out a statement. Like, disseminate is a word. I sent you guys the dictionary.
Oh, yeah,
like,
you did.
Screenshot after we recorded. I think the last roundup recording, and y'all thought that disseminate was not a word, and it was just that it was...
From the very beginning?
Deseminizing. Deseminizing something?
Deseminize.
But it disseminate does mean to take information and spread it forth.
Like COVID.
Like COVID. Like... Ew, COVID. So, Beastars.
So, Pat, did you like Zootopia?
I've never seen
like Zootopia.
You like Zootopia? Okay. So, Beastars is effectively Zootopia with two high school students, except all of the animals have their actual natural instincts. So, like, carnivores actually want to eat herbivores. Like, they fucking want to just rip them in half and eat them. But society is trying to integrate. And there's, like, a lot of themes on racism and, like, the 1970s and stuff. But it takes place in an integrated high school. And you have your main character, Lugosi.
Bella?
Actually, I think he's a reference to that. Actor? It's an actor, right?
No, it's a gymnastics coach. Do you remember Carrie Strug?
Yeah.
From the 1996 Olympics?
Vaguely.
When she hurt her ankle?
Yeah.
And the coach had to carry her?
Oh!
That's the coach.
Okay. Wow. But,
No. He's Dracula.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Bela Lugosi.
So I was correct.
So who am I thinking of?
I was right.
I was like, wait a minute. I didn't want to say anything until I Googled it. But I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not who Bela Lugosi I'm talking about. Imagine if her name is very close to Bela Lugosi.
Okay. See, now I now I even understand the character even more. Okay, so you have he's a wolf. And he for some reason is obsessed with this she's a white dwarf rabbit. She's very adorable. And she a hoe, which is even better. Yeah, no, this thing is like if you took Zootopia and made it as mature as possible and have like murder mystery slapped into it.
So the gymnastics
Bella
coach is Caroli.
Bella Caroli. Close. I'm not mad now. Not mad that you made that mistake.
So
I'm
it's really
disappointed.
Thanks, Mom.
But it's a really good series. So you've got the character who develops romantic feelings for this rabbit, and it's very questionable whether or not he wants to like date her, slash eat her, or claim her. It does a really good job of kind of blurring the lines of like control. Like, are you actually working to control your like what you want? And then there's a couple of subplots with some of the other characters from school. Like, one kid is dosing with actual like herbivore blood. He takes it like a little shot of it before he like does sports and stuff.
Does it give him like power?
So all of the carnivores are on like a fake meat diet, like
so it's
a high
like
protein
True
fake
Blood.
Meat. Kind of. I don't know. The way True Blood did it is like vampires in True Blood would literally look at you and be like, "I'm gonna eat you, then I'm gonna fuck you." Like here, they're like, "Oh hi, how's it going?" And then like you know, the herbivore turns around and they're like, "I'm gonna eat the hell out of that rabbit face." Like. Beastars is very much, there's a lot of references to racism, there's a lot of references to like self-control and lack thereof, because Legoshi is very, 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 very not trying to like hurt anyone. He kind of downplays his own strength a lot, which pisses off a lot of people who think they're weaker. So there's a lot of interesting characters. There's the first season's up on Netflix right now. I do know that later into the series, because I've read a little bit of the manga, there's a place called the Menu, where it's a human, it's effectively herbivore trafficking for carnivores to eat them.
Oy.
So but it's a place called the Menu. And you, one of the characters has actually been there, but he was adopted instead of eaten. So, oh yeah, it like shit gets real dark. And season one, there are some really fucked up moments. Like somebody tells a character to strip down because they want to make sure that their food is a good ingredient. Wants them to bathe because he likes his food clean and pristine.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
Very much. Very much.
How many episodes of this are there?
I'm almost
probably 13. Anime usually tends to do 13, but Netflix usually does 10.
Well, and then some of the newer stuff that's been coming out on Netflix, they've been doing like smaller seasons, almost I guess kind of to gauge.
Season one is 12.
12 episodes.
12 okay. Episodes.
And that is currently streaming on the Netflix.
Netflix.
While you are cooped up in isolation, whether you're on full-out lockdown or just very
you're an introvert,
strictish rules.
Enjoying your even level playing field.
Seriously. All right, so that is Beastars on Netflix. Eric, what is your first topic?
So, we're going to stay on Netflix, we're going to stay animated, and it's Castlevania Season 3.
Ooh!
Yeah. Episodes 1 and 2, because that's all we've seen. So, has anybody here not seen Castlevania?
I've only seen Season 1.
Yeah. Okay. So, they're hunting Dracula, and then Dracula died.
Dracula's dead.
Dead! Dracula's dead!
He's fine. He sends his love.
Yep. Sorry. Spoilers.
It's okay. I was like, meh. I wasn't too impressed with the first season.
I mean, technically, Alucard did kill him, so, I mean, it would be dad's dead. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Patricide.
Oh.
So then this is all the fallout from the death of Dracula.
And it's like two months later.
Yeah.
It's 2 months after... Trevor and
whatever her name is.
What's her name?
Sypha.
Sypha.
Yes.
Sypha left Alucard.
Yes.
So which I had to go back and I've watched season 1 and 2 and I got through them and I was like, okay, cool. It's fine. And then I heard that this season is a bit longer. It's kind of like the first two seasons total combined. So it's a full season.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. I start watching. I'm like, was Sypha a girl in Castlevania 3? And I had to look it up.
I think she was.
She was, but
yep.
Similar to Metroid, they did not tell you. It was all done as he up until the end when she revealed herself to be a woman. Yeah. Thank you for that. But yeah, so Sypha and Trevor have gone on their merry way.
And Alucard's going kind of stir crazy all alone in a big old castle.
Big old castle, murder family's basement.
When he's got the little dolls up and when he's at the table.
I just love the self-realization of, oh God, I've really gone mad, haven't I? Like,
now he understands his dad a whole lot more.
And then Trevor and Sypha are just going through the countryside, killing night creatures. They go to the new town and they meet some weird ass monks.
Oh, yeah.
Who are like, why'd somebody kill Dracula?
Yeah, they're very, actually, I don't even know if they know he's dead yet.
Maybe not.
I don't,
they're
yeah.
just.
Some of them do, because I know that there is, they do talk about it, and when they're trying to sell off the Night Beast, that weird guy that's like,
oh,
I'm not a serf.
Yeah, the priest.
Saint Germain?
Saint Germain.
Yeah.
And like he was telling them about the fact that Dracula was dead, and he was like, so what are your names?
Yeah.
And like, we're not going to say that just yet. Thanks.
I do like how when it does flip to like Isaac, I'm a couple more episodes ahead. It jumps to Isaac and Hector and Carmilla and all sorts, a couple of the other new characters they've introduced, that there's a handful of characters that are like, oh, you don't want to piss off Dracula. And they're like, bitch, he's dead. Like, the news has not gotten around that Dracula's.
Well, I mean,
dead.
It is still kind of olden times in Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Rural Eastern Europe. So it's understandable that they didn't send all the ravens out.
The smoke signals were not being paid attention to at the time.
No.
So what is your take so far on this versus the first two seasons? Like the storytelling and having them be separated. I mean, obviously Sypha and Trevor are on their own adventure, and you've got Alucard as a separate character kind of living his best demented life in his father's castle. What is your take on how the story is being told now versus the first two seasons?
It's okay. I'm waiting for some kind of through line. I don't know who the big bad is going to be of the season. So I'm just kind of waiting, treading water right now.
Gotcha.
I will say it goes in a slightly more cosmic horror direction, which just like ever so slightly, because like what we're getting is there's a lot of lore they throw around with like Eastern European, like gargoyles. All of the demons look like gargoyles. And they go into a little bit more about the whole Forge Master stuff, which is really good.
I was going to say, yeah, because that was something that I didn't really know too much about. I mean, a lot of times I tend to try to multitask, or I'm just consumed with, you know, like I'm reading something and I miss parts of it. But there was a lot more talk about the Forge Master this time around, even just a couple episodes in. I made it just about three episodes into this season so far, and that seems to play a much bigger role in everything, because their armies were the armies of the night, I guess I should say, were very much depleted during this battle that took out Dracula, because they were there helping to defend him.
Yeah.
And kind of got their asses kicked.
So there's a lot of you've got a lot of different stories this time around. You've got Hector and Carmilla. You've got kind of their section. You've got Isaac, honestly, I love Isaac as a character. I absolutely, absolutely love him, because there's just moments where he's just like, you know, I almost forgot, but I fucking hate humans because they're rude. Like, it's just this very matter of fact. Like, he's not really a villain. He's just literally trying to go somewhere.
Wait, is he a Forge Master?
Yes.
He's the one that commandeered the boat, right?
Yes. Yeah. He's the
And he's like, I'm gonna kill you and take your boat, and the dude's like, do you know how to sail a boat?
Exactly. And Isaac's very logical.
Talked his way out of not being killed.
Yeah.
Because he's like, have you sailed? And he's like, it'll be easy. One of my demons will do it. And it's like, if it was that easy, everybody would be a sailor. And then he doesn't get killed. And I'm like, good for you, bitch.
Yeah, it's just because Isaac's not really, to me, Isaac's not really a villain. He's literally just a guy trying to go somewhere. It's just he's scary as shit because he's got all these night creatures just walking around with him. But it'll be very interesting to kind of see what unfolds with the big bad. Honestly, this season to me has felt like, it almost feels like the video games, because you have seasons 1 and 2, which are very cohesive, but now you've got season 3 and you've got like 5 or 6 different stories going, which the video games eventually kind of get into that thing where you play as like one character or you play as like another character with another character. And it's like a completely separate story. Because, like, was it Symphony of the Night is more about Alucard. I think you play as Alucard in Symphony of the Night.
Symphony.
Symphony of the Night. It's very interesting that they've kind of splintered a lot more storylines this time around. Because they have more time to tell them.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, I'm excited to dabble a little bit more into Castlevania. Honestly, it's weird. Like, Netflix has been a little bit less of what I've been watching lately, although in the last couple of days I've really tried to pick up a couple of things, which will lead into our next topic. But that was Eric's topic. That was Castlevania. Season 3 is now
streaming on Netflix.
So I think we're going to... Honestly, I think this entire round is just going to be Netflix. Josh! Do you have your IMDb ready?
I do.
Okay. What is your topic?
Do you have your pot sticker ready?
I'm not okay with this.
Are you eating a pot sticker?
I am. It's full of COVID. It's the new COVID flavor.
The COVID pot sticker.
I like the new LaCroix, a hint of COVID.
a hint of COVID. So I recently watched this new show on Netflix called I'm Not Okay With This, and it has two of the kids from the It remake.
Oh, which I knew it had the girl.
Yeah, it has Beverly. The one who played Stan.
Oh.
Interestingly enough, his name is also Stan. So that shouldn't have been too hard for him to...
It's not typecasting him by name at all.
Not at all. Well, his personality was entirely different than... Yeah.
Okay, good.
Like a full 360.
Well, that's why I said typecasting by name, not by role.
Oh, a 180 or 360?
180.
There you go.
So, it was a 720.
Love you.
So the girl who plays the main character. Oh my god.
I don't think those are 6 feet apart.
They are not 6 feet apart. Maybe 0.006 centimeters apart. But anyway, so the main character, her name is Sydney. She's a teenage girl who's kind of dealing with like high school and puberty and all of these other stuff, and she has a very troubled relationship with her family. Her mom more specifically. But there's a whole bunch of family stuff going on. And as she's kind of going through puberty, she's also, questioning her sexuality, and she kind of discovers that she has some type of power that kind of freaks her out.
I've got the power!
So, think about being like young and gay in like high school,
yeah,
and trying to,
that was the best part of my life,
keep it a secret, and like how terrified you are that it's there. It's
that
kind
doesn't
of,
sound familiar at
it's
all
kind
to me.
Of the same like in terms of like the weight that it carries on the character, but it's just pretty much, it's a very short, I think it's like 8 episodes, it's pretty short. And the episodes are about 30 minutes each, so it's really easy to watch through. But it's very, like, the style is very unique for the story that it's telling, so it's pretty cool.
Very nice. Would you like to tell us any more about the plot?
That's it. I didn't have any spoilers.
So, dear listeners, this was a point of contention during our pre-show planning, and that Josh wanted to not talk about it because I don't want it to be spoiled because I still haven't watched it yet. So that is why we aren't going too much into detail with it. But I've heard it's a great show. I've heard it's really good.
Yeah, it's very stylish. I like it.
So
it took me an episode or two to get kind of like really get into it, but
I'm going to have to dedicate 4 hours of my self-isolation to dig into. I'm not okay with this. Now streaming on Netflix.
Dun dun.
Thank you, The Joel McHale Show. Sorry, Joel McHale.
Aw, poor Joel McHale Show.
Did it get canceled?
It didn't come back.
It didn't come back. I love jokes like that.
Well, okay, then.
It's like, what's the difference between my closet and your closet? What? The dead hookers.
Why are there dead hookers in your closet?
I didn't.
Because they're not in mine.
This was a punchline, not an explanation.
Oh. It just raised more questions than it answered.
As it should.
What's the difference between a mop and a broom? It's harder to beat your wife with a mop.
We don't condone spousal abuse.
Not at all. But it leads into my first topic this month, because that is an actual joke from one of two Netflix shows that I did get a chance to watch.
Sorry, I'm sorry, I've known you way too long. Oh, that got really dark in my head real fast.
So the other day I was perusing Netflix, and I noticed that Bert Kreischer has a new stand-up special that was just recently released called Hey Big Boy, which right there, I'm sold.
Did you notice him or his nipples?
I noticed his belly button because gotcha. It's not very deep, and I have a tendency to notice things like that. It's
do
just
you wanna,
weird.
Do you want to touch his belly button up?
No.
You know?
No.
You don't just want to poke it?
No.
Just push it back in?
No.
Why?
I don't know. Honestly, when there is little to no belly button, it freaks me out, which is why after my surgery and I basically don't have a belly button anymore.
You're a clone.
It freaked me out.
What is this, Kyle XY in 2003?
It is not.
Oh my gosh.
It is not.
No. Go back to Krakoa.
But I did go ahead and watch the special, and it's highly entertaining. I think overall it's on par with most of his pretty good jokes. Once it gets to the end, though, in the last, I'll call it the last segment of his stand-up, is where I just completely was hooked and lost it. And it's basically him telling the story. If you don't know who Bert Kreischer is, he is a fantastic storyteller. The way that he crafts, and honestly, I think the jokes are almost second nature in a lot of what he does. But the storytelling and him putting together this visual for you as he's telling the jokes really does a world of like good for... It's very, very vivid in your imagination. You're able to see these things. And I think he most famously really came to the forefront with his Russian, the Russian mob, the train story, and all of that, which went fairly viral and then just kind of propelled him into the limelight. But he tells a story about how his wife went to Vietnam for 9 days and left this list of things for him to do to take care of their two daughters, and how everything went from there. And like literally the last thing that is said as part of that segment is like it's kind of the punchline, but it's just the way that it's told, it's fantastic. So if you've not seen him before, I highly suggest it. If you do like his comedy, you've seen it before, go and watch it for sure, because it will definitely entertain you for an hour. The other thing that I wanted to mention briefly in this segment is 100 Humans. So on Friday, I went to go get my paycheck, and as I was coming back, my friend Jay was like, hey, I want to go for a drive, because being cooped up sucks, and sometimes it's just nice to get in your car and just go drive. And especially right now, roads are a lot clearer than they have been in a long time.
I feel like that's the plot of Wrong Turn.
Which one?
Second one?
The 14th.
I was like, if Eliza Dushku pops up, I'm fine. I'm A-okay with that. But we decided to go buy booze. And we went back and hung out at his house and managed to polish off an entire bottle of mango Bacardi in about 3 hours.
Yeah.
I had a hangover by about 8 o'clock that night. And
yeah.
Woke up at 1:30 in the morning with the worst headache. It was horrible. But in the process, we threw Netflix on and decided, because a friend of his, or somebody, I don't want to say a friend, somebody that he knows, was cast and participated as one of these 100 humans that make up the show 100 Humans. It is a, I don't want to say it's a scientific, it's not a highly scientific show. They basically set out each episode, and I think it's 8 episodes, with a certain premise, and then they do 4 experiments with these 100 humans, and it's a matter of whether people are more attractive in uniform than out of uniform, whether men or women are the better or the more superior gender.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's pretty scientific.
It is. I mean,
it's like a social science sort of experiment.
Yes. Yeah, social science experiment, definitely. I mean, there definitely could be more things to be more rigorous about how they come up with
they
their conclusions.
Establish a control or something like that. Yeah.
And they try to. There are times where they do have a control group and whatnot. I mean, one of them, they actually have people watch paint dry. It's to determine whether or not time really does fly when you're having fun.
Oh.
So one group is in a room watching paint dry, and the other one's having a party.
Can they hear each other?
No. Oh. No. There's one where it's like, do old people really have a distinct smell? Or are you just ageist?
This sounds like The Bad Place. I'm just going to say it. This sounds like a really weird torture project.
They did some torture in there. It's light torture, but they did some torture. It is, it's entertaining. It is eye-opening, because there was one actually about racial bias. They had, they did a shooting gallery, like, style, you know, where, like, instead of having things pop up, they had people, like, pop out, and you had to either shoot them if they were holding a gun, or not shoot them if they were holding a cell phone. So no matter what, everybody was kind of up like this. And then they did an experiment where one person was white, one person was black, both holding cell phones, and whether or not the person would shoot, and if they did, would they be more inclined to shoot the white person or the black person? Spoiler alert, it was the black person.
Womp, womp.
Yeah. But overall, it really was entertaining, and it was a fun watch, and especially when you've been drinking quite a bit, which a lot of people now are in their homes for a while, and I suggest that very highly. So that's Bert Kreischer's Hey Big Boy and 100 Humans on Netflix. If you are enjoying this episode or any of the other content that we provide to you as Flame On, then go and check us out on the intranets at flameonshow.com. You can find out more about us. You can click on links to send us emails. And you can even scroll to the bottom and follow us on your favorite social media platforms. If you would like to become a patron, we are listener-funded entertainment, so if you would like to help continue the tradition of Flame On, which is almost 10 years, of Flame On, look at that. Next year we'll have to have a big celebration for it. But if you would like to help us keep this going, then consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/flameonshow and join at any one of the 4 levels. We've got great content up there already. I've got some more stuff ready to go now, and there'll be even more content going up very soon. So check us out at patreon.com/flameonshow.
Have you heard about Knives Out?
I suspect foul play.
A pitch-perfect whodunit. That's yours to own.
Tell me everything.
Critics are calling Knives Out delectably entertaining. 5 stars. An all-star modern classic.
Exactly.
Knives Out. Available now.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favorite shows
and this is one we think you're going to love.
Hey everybody, I'm Scott from What Culture, host of the What Culture Gaming Podcast. We are a gaming podcast that uploads multiple times a week, delving into everything from hype ranking the latest upcoming releases, doing franchise or game-specific breakdowns, picking apart some breaking news, or just arguing over whether Sekiro is better than Bloodborne. Of course, it absolutely is. To find us, search for the What Culture Gaming Podcast on Acast, Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, or wherever else you can think of. Thanks so much to Acast for helping us get off the ground, and hopefully you'll hear from us very soon.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. It is time for round two.
Every time you said entertainment tonight, I keep hearing entertainment.
I do kind of say it with a little bit of pseudo inflection.
Okay, with the extra emphasis on the syllable.
The syllable. Yeah. I thought you were going to say every time I would say entertainment tonight that you heard the entertainment tonight music in the background.
Now I do.
Na, 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 na.
Fucking monster.
Na, 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 na.
It's going to haunt me to my grave. It's going to haunt me to my grave with that and the Rainbow Road song from all the Mario Kart games.
I'm going to get both of those as ringtones.
All right. It is time for round two. Fight. We are back with more
Hadouken.
Tough. Oh, my God. Where's M. Bison when you need him?
God.
He was at the Parliament House not too long ago for Mardi Gras.
Right?
Wait, somebody was dressed up as M. Bison?
I mean, no, not officially.
Not intentionally.
But his outfit was very reminiscent.
I know. Why didn't any of us take a picture of it?
I don't know.
Because we were drunk at that point. We were wondering when Checkers was closing.
Oh, right. And trying to make it there before. Oh, because that was the night that it was also Daylight Savings Time. And
that was the day before we recorded our last episode.
Oh, yeah.
Episode.
Did you make it to Checkers? Now.
Yes, because it closes at 5 a.m.
Oh, 5?
Yeah.
Ooh. Why does it close?
I don't know. It's time to restock?
Because don't they do breakfast?
They do not.
They do not.
Oh, they do not.
So they're probably open at noon.
I could go for a garbage burger at 6 a.m.
Some of them do close at 6, so you just got to take a look at which location it is. So, our second round of topics, let us start with Joshua.
So, I'm actually going to be talking about a video game. The Last of Us.
The Last of Us.
So, for those who don't know, it's a game that came out originally on PS3 in 2013, was then remastered, came out in 2014.
Ooh, this is like an Eric topic. Yeah.
On the PlayStation 4. And
come on,
it
way
is
back machine.
One of the most beautiful, amazing, like, cinematic and story-driven games I've ever played in my life.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I pre-ordered...
Is this the electric game?
No.
The electric sucking game?
No, that's Infamous.
Oh, damn.
No.
I was enjoying watching that.
No.
It's a good game, too. I'm really hoping that they remaster both of those.
Sorry, I digress.
No, The Last of Us is actually, it's a pandemic game. So I felt the timing was quite fitting.
It's zombies,
but it's a kind of a different take on the whole zombie genre, and instead of your typical zombie, it's actually what's it called?
It's a mycelium fungus.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
Most referred to like zombie snails and
it infects ants.
Ants and snails and other insects and stuff, but it's basically it's a fungus that the spores infect the host, and then it grows a stoma, causing the insect to essentially go kill itself. And then once the insect dies, the fungus is able to take full control over the corpse.
So this is not such a fun guy.
No.
Boo.
not so fun.
Boo.
This guy's pretty rotten.
Boo.
But with the given the COVID pandemic going on right now, and the fact that in May The Last of Us 2 is being released, I pre-ordered both the collector's editions. I managed to get both of them, and I'm absolutely shocked. So I'm going to sell one of them because people gonna freak out.
Because she's hoarding, y'all.
Uh-huh.
Somebody get Jeff Bezos on
See?
The phone.
You're returning that toilet paper.
Nope, I'm keeping that toilet paper. But it's a different take on the zombie virus. It's using the cordyceps fungus. And so it's a very real thing, and I think that's one of the most intriguing things about the storyline.
It's fucking creepy as shit.
Right?
Like, all it has to do is jump, like, two species, and we're it.
Oh, absolutely. They actually made an Amazon... Or no, it wasn't Amazon. It was on Amazon Prime, but I don't think it was exclusive. But it's called The Girl with All the Gifts.
Oh, yeah.
Gift or GIF?
Gift.
Gifts. Oh, okay. That's a different movie.
It used
the girl with all the GIFs.
It used the same premise.
GIF, motherfucker, GIF.
It was kind of zombie-esque, but it was using the cordyceps virus as well. So, but I felt it was very fitting to replay it. It is one of the hardest games I've ever played, and trophies for the PlayStation are very hard to come by. So I'm playing it on hard now, but it's about this guy who loses his daughter at the very beginning of the game, and so it jumps like 20 years into the future. So humanity and society is pretty much crumbled, and he is tasked with taking this little girl who could be the cure to the whole thing, and trying to get her across country to this organization called Fireflies. And the two of them bond, you know, as most stories like this do. But it's a very rocky relationship at first. And the girl is feisty, and she is a mouth of a sailor.
And she's a lesbian.
She a lesbian.
Is she as annoying as AJ in AJ and the Queen?
No.
Oh, okay.
not at all.
Did that get canceled?
It did.
Yes.
Why don't you say yes?
It's not coming back.
Nah, RuPaul's too busy fracking right now.
In her own backyard.
Exactly.
That's how COVID started.
See? I would say the last of Us is a cautionary tale. If they had self-isolated like they were supposed to, that fungus wouldn't have gotten in their face.
Because it's quick. It spreads very quickly. You breathe in the spores and you're fucked.
So if you want to see what our future looks like, play The Last of Us, now available on PlayStation 4. Or available for the last couple of years on PlayStation 4.
PlayStation.
Yum.
Did you Red Robin it?
I did.
He did. Oh, every time we talk about a hot dude, that's what I'm calling it now. I'm going to Red Robin that hot dude.
Yum.
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 All right, so Eric, why don't you regale us with your second topic?
So, Top Chef is back.
Yay!
For a new season.
Whoop, whoop.
It's an all-star season.
With 15 all-stars from previous seasons. It's very exciting.
I'm very excited, except that I really cannot stand at least one person on this season.
Which one?
Angelo.
He seems a little mellower now.
I don't care. He's had enough chances. He was on the first All-Stars. Get the fuck off my television.
I mean, this is the third time for Jen to come back.
Oh, is it Jen Carroll, right?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah,
but she never had a good look on the show.
No, and she talks about how the previous time she was on, she basically told Tom to fuck off.
So not as like, bad as so the she, one so chick she, that so did was, actually tell him to fuck off.
So
basically.
She was like, I'm not going to do that this time. I'm going to be nice.
Episode one, she goes, fuck off, Tom! I'm just kidding. I have not seen episode one yet.
No, so it's good. Do you want to know what the quickfire is?
Please.
The quickfire is the mise en place race.
I love the mise en place race.
Very much fun.
Oh, so much fun.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Prep work.
Thank you.
Yes.
I was like the mise en place. What the fuck's a mise en? And then I remembered that French is a thing.
Yeah.
Especially
for cooking.
What is it? Items in place.
Yeah, all your stuff isn't where it's supposed to be.
Well, I was just trying to think of what the actual definition was. I think it's items in place.
Yeah, I think so.
I know that en place is in place.
Yes. But yes, and then
what's going on over there?
So I was reading up on the cordyceps virus to see if it can affect humans as of right now, but I was reading that it's actually used to treat humans for a variety of things, including bronchitis, respiratory disorders, and among other things.
So it's going to be the COVID cure that eventually ushers in.
I'm like, I mean, if these are some of the symptoms in COVID, and these are things that are used in Chinese medicine to treat said things, is that going to be a cure? Are you going to put cordyceps in PrEP and then
we're going to usher in that zombie apocalypse by using that to treat COVID?
It'll make it worse.
It'll cure the COVID, but it'll turn us all into zombies. So the mise en place, how did they do it this time around? Did they do it where the first team to finish got to start cooking first? Or because like sometimes push a button and the other teams have to wait.
Well, it's everybody for themselves first. So it's the first person to turn 3 artichokes.
Oh, that version of it.
And so the first 5 people who successfully turn 3 artichokes, they are team number 1, who then go to the kitchen and then they start cooking.
Oh,
and then
okay.
The next thing is they have to segment like 3 oranges.
Gotcha.
And then those next 5 people who do that successfully, they can go to the kitchen. And then the last 5 people, they have to successfully shell 20 almonds. And that's the one that threw everybody off. They're like, when was the last time any of us shelled nuts?
Jesus Christ.
And then once those last 5 chefs get to the kitchen, that's when the 15-minute clock starts.
Okay.
Shit.
Oh, so the faster you were, the more time you have to cook.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And so each team has to prepare 2 dishes.
Using those items?
Yes.
Gotcha. So it's a combination of, it's kind of like how they did New York and did the first elimination when they did their first New York season. Mm-hmm. I think there's only been 1 season in New York.
Yeah.
Because they had 2, I think 1 or 2 extra people, and they did that whole mise en place, and then it was... You were safe, and then it came down to the last one, and then I think it was the young kid who's like 19 at the time was the one who lost that and got sent home.
Quite possibly.
Yeah. Or it was the girl. I think it was Patrick and the girl were the last 2 that were. Anywho. Mm. So it's fun to see them kind of take things that they've done, and especially in an all-star season.
Yes.
Who are you cheering for? Who are your top 3 for this all-star season?
I really like the Vitaggio who's on.
Wait, Brian's on this.
Brian's
one.
On.
This oh, okay,
one.
I like Brian.
Yes,
I can't stand.
He was
Michael.
He was the mellower of the two.
At points, he was just the calm asshole.
Yes,
he was the because they're both dicks.
Yeah,
but Michael Vitaggio, but he won, so I knew he couldn't be on
right.
All Stars.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good pick.
I really like Jen Carroll overall.
Fuck you, Tom.
Even though she keeps coming back, she can't get enough. And then
didn't she do? Well, because she did her season All Stars, and then she did the one where it was half and half. Wasn't that Brooke's season where she won? Did she come back for that one?
No, I don't think she was on that one.
I think she was.
Maybe
because I think
maybe
that was
this
her
is
third.
Her. Maybe this is her.
That might be her
time.
Fourth time on the show. Woo, girl. She's like, I just want to get close.
And maybe Karen, I think. She always has weird colored hair.
I was like, she the pink haired lesbian?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, she's cute. I like her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totes down for Joe Sasto.
All the pasta every time pasta. Joe Pasta. Joey Pasta.
I'm assuming he made pasta.
He did.
Of course he did. He's just cute, though. Like
him and that curled mustache.
Does he still have it?
Yeah.
It looked like he had changed up his facial hair.
He still got a curled mustache.
Still got the mustache.
Yeah.
Brian Vitaggio is an amazing chef on the show and hot. My top 3 tend to just be the ones I want to sleep with.
Yum.
I also really liked Kevin.
What's that?
Kevin. He's a bearish guy. Beard. He was in one of the finales. I think it was the finale against Brooke. I think he was.
Wait, is he the pig guy?
Yeah.
No, he was not. He wasn't in the finale. His wife was having the baby, and he was at the That's where they went to Alaska. Was that season 10? That might have been Brooke's first season. We'll throw him in my top.
He could be my top. What?
We're fucking ridiculous. All right. And that's Thursday nights now, right?
Sure. It's on Hulu. That's what I watch it on Hulu.
Is it actually, are they showing it on Hulu like right away?
It's Hulu Live.
Oh, you have Hulu Live?
Yeah.
You got Hulu Live?
I did.
Yes, bitch.
Big spender.
All right. I finally got approved for my, I had it throughout the entire duration of the period to get a free Roku.
Uh-huh.
So I've got to claim my free Roku. But, yeah, I forgot that it was coming back and then saw that it was back. And I was like, shit, I don't think I have it recording. And then it shows up because I had it in my stuff.
Yeah.
So awesome. I'm going to have to check out episode one.
Yeah, because I needed it. I needed it for that and for Project Runway.
Ah.
Which, that was a good season.
The homo one, right? Which one?
I mean, there were two in the finale. But yes, no,
how
no,
many
no,
contestants
no,
were
no,
there?
No,
16.
The,
there were 15 homos.
The harness wearer. The harness homo.
The harness homo. The harness homo won.
Yeah, he was all muscly. Muscly.
Yeah, I remember from that like two episodes that we watched at my house that one day, or maybe three. I don't know. Whatever was up at that point in time. Awesome. So I believe that is Thursday nights on Bravo, or if you have Hulu Live, you can watch it live, or actually I think anytime afterwards, as long as you are recording it. So I am not going to go last this round, which is very weird for me, but I am going to go next in this little round of pop culture tidbits. And I am going to talk about, without really giving much away in the spoiler category, about Schitt's Creek season final.
Aww.
I know, it's very sad.
Oh.
So we travel back to the town of Schitt's Creek, where we last left the Rose family with an engagement and a film that was not going to be made, and Moira slinking away into the closet to
drink fruit wine
and perish because of a lack of attention. Like Tinkerbell, she needs the attention to survive.
I do believe in Moira. I do believe in Moira.
She's good for another week. Fantastic. So this season, if you are keeping up with it, follows along the same path. It pretty much picks up right where season 5 left off. Moira is still in the closet. And then there's a fire, and she has to have Roland save her, carry her out, because she is so weak in the closet that she cannot get out herself. Or she actually gets trapped in the closet because Johnny didn't fix the latch. And then she's too weak to get out, so Roland picks her up, and then she sends him back in to get her her wigs, her favorite wigs. So it kicks off from there. We travel through some more ups and downs for Alexis. So the ups and downs of Alexis and her fledgling career, her relationship with Ted while he's in the Galapagos Islands, and the fun misadventures of Patrick and David as they prepare for and plan for their wedding, including the engagement photos, which were a hilarious part of one of the most recent episodes, which the show actually went ahead and put the engagement photos that were taken from that out onto their Twitter account. So it was a cute little extra bonus for the people who are following along on their social media. And I will not give away spoilers for it, but in the most recent episode, as of this recording, they had their bachelor party, which for members of this room would be quite fitting because it was an escape room.
Aww.
And
Lord have mercy.
You got to watch how crazy Patrick was, which made me think of some other people that we know in our lives that have played escape rooms. And how swept up David eventually gets into it. And it was just kind of fun to see how they portrayed it. Because since escape rooms have become such a big part of like our culture now, it's interesting to see how different shows handle incorporating them into their episodes, including like Two Broke Girls. I think The Big Bang Theory did an episode where it incorporated it. So I think this was probably one of the better ways that it's been incorporated into a sitcom, and it's been really cute. I feel like it's slowly trying to get to where it needs to get to because they know it's the final season, so they're not trying to rush any stories, and they're focused less on a lot of outside stories and telling the final stories for these main characters, which sometimes feels like you're not getting anywhere, but it's still been an overall really solid season. And we got the news that there will be a movie after this is over.
Oh.
So, in community fashion, it's hashtag
six seasons and a movie.
6 seasons and a movie.
Yep.
So, that is Schitt's Creek, currently airing on Pop. And if you have Hulu Live, you can watch it on there as well.
Ooh.
So, Eric, I need you to catch up so that way you can discuss it more.
I know this is completely off topic, but listen to this tweet. Just watch the movie Midsommar. If you want to know what it's about, imagine IKEA and Walt Disney Studios coming together to produce Get Out for white people.
100%.
Wow, that is the most accurate thing I've ever heard in my life. By the way, Midsommar is
fantastic
on
Amazon Prime
as a free movie.
I just added it to my list because I haven't seen it yet.
I liked it. It's good. I still haven't seen Hereditary, but I liked Midsommar.
All right. So now that we have gone through everybody else, closing out our topics for this month is BJ.
The best for last. All right.
That's
so
debatable.
My topic is...
Oh, the topic is probably...
This shady bitch over here. Sonic Forces. PlayStation, if those of you that have a PlayStation Plus membership know that there's the free... monthly games that come out from time to time.
Can I like go and access that through my computer and set it up to download, like claim it? Because no. I won't have my PlayStation until the month is over.
You can do it on the app.
You can do it on the app.
But you can't do it on your computer.
Okay. I'm gonna have to check that.
Yeah, do it on the app. You might be able to do it from the website, but I would just go through the app to just make sure it's in your library.
Because it's linked to your Sony account.
Oh, okay, good. I'll have to do that because I want free games.
Yeah.
But my PlayStation's been packed up for the last 2 months.
And I think...
Shadow of Colossus is also for you.
Yeah. Shadow of Colossus and Sonic Forces.
Why does Pyotr Rasputin have a shadow, and why is there a game based on it?
But they... So, like, I know, like, a year ago, they had Sonic Mania up as a free download, which came out around the same time as Sonic Forces. Sonic Mania got a better review because it's very much a love story. It's very much like a love letter to the original type of Sonic games. But you have Sonic Forces, which is the first Sonic game where you get to make kind of your own original character.
You get to make your own character?
Yeah, you get to make your own Sonic character. So you get to pick like a species.
I'm doing that tonight.
Then you pick the eye shape. And you get to pick and then the thing is, as you progress through the game, if you get like an S rank on some of the missions, you unlock clothes, so you get to change your clothes every so often.
Cool.
There's daily rewards for
changing your outfit. So it's
like
Mario Odyssey, where you get to dress Mario up?
Kind of. But interestingly enough, it's a game where like Eggman has won, and you're kind of starting off as like the recruit for the Resistance. And everybody's just kind of like trying to hold it together.
So this is the Age of Apocalypse version of Sonic?
Actually, yeah, kinda.
Okay.
So you've got a new singular named villain, Infinite.
One singular name.
So this one is interesting because it takes elements from Sonic Generations, which is probably my favorite modern Sonic game. And it adds in, you have stages where you play as modern Sonic. You have stages where you play as, like, the old 2D Sonic. And then you have stages where you play as this new avatar character. And you can equip different weaponry. Some weapons are better for certain stages. So you're kind of, once you start unlocking weapons, you kind of got to hope. Like, there's multiple routes you can take on the stage. There's, like, a fire weapon, lightning, neat little cosmic one, which you fire, it locks on the enemies. And you fire, like, little clones of yourself at the enemies. It got, so it didn't get, like, great reviews, but I've been having a lot of fun with it. It's the only, like, modern Sonic game that's currently out. It's the most recent one.
Besides the Mario and Sonic go to the Olympics. Or those type of games.
Yeah. So if you're a huge fan of Sonic Generations, and if you haven't played Sonic Generations, definitely pick up Sonic Generations, because I really love Sonic Generations. It's like you play modern Sonic stages as like old Sonic, and you play old Sonic stages as modern Sonic. So there's like a fully rendered 3D version of Green Hill Zone. So it's really interesting. It's a lot of fun. The story's meh, but you do get to make your own original character.
Okay.
Which is cute. I mean, you know, who here doesn't like to play Barbie with their video games?
I mean, seriously, that was one of the most fun parts about Mario Odyssey.
Jesus, me and two of my friends, when I was in college, when we would play Rock Band and we would make our own band members. It was like a 2-hour process.
Oh, yeah.
Because we wanted to unlock as much as possible, and then we would go and make a whole bunch of... We would make a band.
What was your band name?
Snuggle Infection.
Oh.
Snuggle Infection, and then there was the Coat Hanger Crew.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is an all-girls band.
Mine was Olympians for Lovers.
Ugh. Ugh. I imagine a whole bunch of, like, gross ballads.
Think like Hawthorne Heights and Fall Out Boy, like, ooh, together.
Okay, that's slightly better.
Yeah.
I'm still hearing a bunch of ballads.
Like, I don't know what most of those words were.
Ballads or?
Yes, ballads. I have no idea what those are.
But no, so as of when this episode drops, Sonic Forces is still up on the PlayStation Network free game, one of the two free games for this month.
Nice. I'm downloading the app right now so I can try to claim it.
And I'm very excited because I think next month's will be the BioShock. Some of the BioShock games.
Oh.
But the BioShock collection was, I think, January or February.
Yeah.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I paid $60 for it.
Womp womp.
When it came out, though. Are we friends on PlayStation?
I know we're not.
No? Oh.
Because you're ashamed of me.
We'll have to exchange PSNs.
Yes.
All right, so that is Sonic Forces, now available free if you are a PlayStation Network member. If you have enjoyed this episode or any of the other content that Flamon has put into your ear holes, then go and follow us on your favorite social media platform by going to flamonshow.com and scrolling to the bottom. You can also check out the About section, find out more about us, and find our links to send us emails. Flamon is also listener-funded entertainment. That time I said it just for you, BJ.
Yay!
We are listener-funded entertainment, so if you would like to help us continue making Flame On, especially as we are going into long-distance mode, then head over to patreon.com/flameonshow and pledge at any of the four levels. There's plenty of content up there right now, and much more coming very soon. So head on over and become a patron. patreon.com/flameonshow. So before we say sayonara for the month of March, let us do our round of one-ups. Eric, what is your one-up?
Randy Rainbow's new song. video just came out.
Amazing.
All about social distancing.
Aww.
And it parodies one of the more underrated Disney ballads out there.
Into the unknown.
No.
Into the unknown.
No.
Into the unknown.
You almost had it. You're so close. No, but it parodies I Will Go the Distance from Hercules.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, but it's really funny. It's not really taking any sort of political slant like he typically does.
Yeah.
It's just more, don't go fucking outside.
Yeah. Jonathan Coulton would have something to say about that.
It's not May 1st. We still have time. And then there will be fucking outside.
Not if the pandemic keeps going the way that it's going. May 1st will not be the day to go fucking outside.
Yeah, no. Maybe like August 1st.
Mm. Yes, but that's mine.
I'm okay with August. I mean, it'll cancel at least two of my concerts. Maybe three, depending on when in August. But at least my cruise would stay intact.
Oh, that's right.
So Randy Rainbow's new song, you can find that on his Facebook page.
Yes.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Joshua, what is your one-up? What is giving you life? And what do you want, DJ?
COVID memes.
Oh.
I'm actually posting some of my story. I'm making a highlight of them so I can permanently go back to them whenever. One of them has come across my attention today, which has been quite amazing for me. A little bit of a throwback. So back in 2016, there was a picture of a toilet paper that was just kind of unrolling, and it says, this is a meme from the future that you would not understand. And here we are in 2020, where now toilet paper is lit. Wow. We are in the future. Oh. That the 2016 meme had foreshadowed.
Meme Rodomus.
Like... Wow. Wow. So there's quite a few brilliant memes, this one being one of my favorites.
I enjoy the one that says, in 2020, we all thought there'd be flying cars, and it says 2020, and it's like a public bathroom with a giant roll of toilet paper, but then there's a chain and a padlock on it.
Right.
Yeah. So COVID-19 memes are what are giving Josh life in these troubling times. BJ, what is giving you life?
So, what is giving me life is the Birds of Prey soundtrack. I actually got to sit down and finally start listening to it, holy fucking shit. That's
are you good. A boss bitch?
Boss bitch is my... Okay, so Boss Bitch
That's
is my...
That's Doja Cat, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Boss Bitch by Doja Cat is my favorite.
I didn't even see that. I only said it because that was Melanie had me pull it up, and she's done it at... did it for... one or two shows while I was working
really?
There. Yep.
Okay.
That was... I did not plan that.
COVID has given him psychic abilities.
Apparently.
So I started listening to the soundtrack, but I just kind of took a break because I got distracted by all sorts of other nonsense.
A pandemic going on.
Yeah, right. But what sent me back to it was there's been a slew of meme TikToks, apparently, since the Grammys. Because at the Grammys, they would do that kind of, like, slow-down shot of, like, the individual artists and stuff. And people have been taking those and putting that to Boss Bitch. And the meme is, like, me getting ready to go to my boyfriend's house, and this girl's putting her hair up and putting a jacket on, and she's just, like, just going to go Netflix and chill. But then it's, like, me going out with my besties, and her hair's done and everything right when the chorus drops. So that kind of sent me right back to the soundtrack, and it is a really, really good song. If those of you who haven't heard it, it's Boss Bitch by Doja Cat. It's kind of my power song before I go to work or go to the grocery store, since, you know, I can die doing those things apparently now.
That is very true.
Yep.
So the Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn movie soundtrack available. In physical form and at all of your digital music spaces. I don't even know what to call them. Right.
Streaming services?
Streaming services. That's, I mean, sure. I mean, yeah. Those things.
We're all over the place tonight.
Technology.
I'm forgetting stuff. Josh is remembering things that may or may not have happened.
This episode of Black Mirror is really weird.
This is a really weird episode of Black Mirror.
Whoever started playing Jumanji better finish quick.
Yes.
So my one up, I definitely want to give a shout out to David J. Collins. His books were the two books that I have read for the years... 2019 and 2020, and if you remember from last year, I had made a vow to finally read the book
Gay Bash, and that was my 2019 New Year's resolution, which I completed. That is LGBT fiction set in Boys Town in Chicago, where David lives. And then while I was on my way up to Chicago to apartment hunt, I cracked open Summerdale, which I had promised him I would keep out and with me during this transitional period, because I promised that I would read it before I moved up there. And I actually accomplished it almost completely.
What?
Before I got to Chicago to apartment hunt. I cracked it open during my layover and read 174 pages between the layover and the flight, the second flight from Boston to Chicago.
So proud of you.
Right?
Look
at me.
You accomplishing goals.
Look at that. And that is an LGBTQ horror novel. It is the first of what is a planned trilogy. And it does a lot of setup for the main characters that will be going through this adventure over the next two books. He has pushed back the date for the second book. It was originally slated for October of this year. However, he wants to kind of gauge the world after this upcoming election.
Oh, boy.
And because there's a lot of what was going on in the world at the time that is kind of sewn through through the novel itself.
Okay.
So he wants it to be something that is relevant for the time, but also works whenever you read it.
Real life is stranger than fiction, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly.
You can't make this shit up.
There is a lot of things, and literally, as when I met up with him while I was in town looking at apartments, and I think I had about 30 or 40 pages left, and I almost was like, please just go away for another half an hour and then come back and meet me because I want to finish this book. And at the same time, I was like, God damn it. Because I had gotten so invested in some of these stories, and because it's the first part of a planned trilogy, there's no payoff to it, because it's not like, okay, here's this story, and it ends.
Start the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure to be continued song.
Well, I don't know what that means, but I'm going to say that, yes, it does apply here. but it kept me, for somebody who is not an avid reader, it kept me thoroughly engaged. And in these times of uncertainty and self-isolation, stop the COVID in their ears, it is a great way to kind of get something new into your life. Gay Bash is available as a paperback, and you can purchase it from his website, davidjcollins.com. That's J-A-Y, not the letter J. It also has an ebook, and there's an audiobook. And then Summerdale, which is the horror novel, the first of the three in the trilogy, that is available as paperback and an ebook. The ebooks are only, I think, $3.99. So if you have any type of subscription, either through Amazon or any type of ebook subscription, then go and grab it for $4.
I might have to do that, because then I'll have another use of my iPad.
There you go.
You know, he said ebooks and not e-boys, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And then one other quick thing. Demi Lovato is back with another fun new song that actually is a bit of a... If you saw her at the Grammys and you saw her performing that single, holy crap. I didn't want to watch it at first because I was like, I can't. Like, I just don't want to feel those emotions. And it was amazing. But she just recently put out a single called I Love Me.
It's so good.
It Gross. Is. And it really just kind of it tackles the whole aspect of like being a black belt when you beat yourself up, but the fact that you can't, you know, you can't love yourself, and you know, when is I love me enough? And it Gross. Just it's reaffirming. Maybe you should listen to it at night when you're writing your affirmations, BJ.
Super gross.
We remember those.
Mega gross.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Remember berries? I remember.
But check it out, Demi Lovato, I Love Me. And this concludes our final four-person, in-person Flame On recording.
This is so foreboding. We're doing this now. This is so foreboding to me.
Well, listen, how do you think I feel? I've got to fucking pack up a car and move into a city that's on lockdown.
Right? Or
the world is ending.
I was going to say, you're heading up to like Chicago and you get there and it's a zombie apocalypse and you have to escape Chicago.
Would you like to see my current wallpaper?
Oh, boy.
Oh, I mean, you can't.
28 days later?
The Chicago without any traffic.
Bare.
Oh, buddy.
Let me get the actual photo.
Don't make any loud noises.
No. I mean, as of right now, they are on a shelter-in-place order until April 7th.
Oof.
But
right. Oh, my God.
I don't know what that's going to mean for me. I think it's going to probably delay my move up there about a week. I'm working with my leasing agent now to figure out all the details because I ain't going to get anything delivered until that order is lifted. So we'll see how it all goes. But in the meantime, everybody out there, please stay safe. Thank you for supporting us. This is not the end. We will have content that will be going out in the month of April that will be pre-recorded. There will not be a roundup in April. We'll reconvene as a group leading into May's recordings. And so until the next time we have a chance to chat, thank you, boys, for being here. And bye, bitch.
Wash your hands.
Bye.
Into the unknown.
Plot twists. We're obsessed with them.
In film, life, and love, they turn up everywhere.
Join us as we meet with TV and film stars to ask them about their favorite plot twists, both on and off screen.
We'll be talking to the likes of Carl Pilkington,
David Schwimmer and Nick Mohammed,
and Danny McBride and Edie Patterson.
So, expect the unexpected.
And hopefully some behind-the-scenes nuggets you've never heard before.
Join us,
Tom and Fran,
for the Plot Twist Podcast.
Subscribe now.